Okay, the Senate Committee on Human Services will come to order. Thank you.
That's for the room.
That's for the room, yeah. Thank you. So we have a number of things to do today. We have a couple of bills that are not ready to go. Senate Bill 226, I'm going to briefly open the work session on Senate Bill 226. There is an amendment in OLIS. There's an error in the way that the SACUs were described, the stabilization and crisis units. It talked about people being committed to the Department of Human Services, and these people are not subject to a commitment, so we're working on a better description and some refinement around the membership of the task force with all of the members of that board. So we should have that -2. We put those amendment requests in day before yesterday, so we should have them, and we'll email them out to everyone as soon as we receive them.
Are you moving that over?
So we're carrying that over to Tuesday. That's 226. So I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 226. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 629. Senate Bill 629 is also not ready. This is the right to rest bill, and I just wanted to put on the record that there is a work group that's meeting that includes the supporters and opponents of the concept, and what they're working on is a concept that would basically be a complete rewrite of that bill. It would be very, very narrow and address some very specific issues around when you walk down the street, can somebody search your bag, and do we distinguish between who can and can't sit on a park bench? So if I'm allowed to sit on a park bench, could we say that a person that doesn't live in a house is not allowed to sit on that same park bench at the same time that I am? So that is the direction that those conversations are going. We'll get those amendments to everyone as soon as we get them back. So
is that the -1?
I don't know what -- it will be. Okay. I think they've drafted some other things and haven't put them there.
Because I have a -1.
Yeah, it's not.
It's not.
We don't have. Yeah, it's not.
It'd probably be the -4s.
Yeah,
I think.
Cool. Yeah,
so it'll be the last -.
It'll be the last -, and we will directly send them.
Well,
to you
know, if we put our names on these -, we would know who wrote them, right?
And we can have that conversation another day. So I'm going to wait for it. So Cheyenne, I'm going to carry over 629 till Tuesday, and I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 629. And I'm going to open a work session on something we're ready to move, Senate Bill 632. Jan.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 632 has a -3 amendment with no revenue impact and a fiscal statement issued. It has a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. It was previously heard March 12th and on the 14th this past Tuesday. The -3 amendment replaces the general requirement for appropriate training and support with an enumerated list of several specific required services as part of a pilot program to be administered by the Department of Human Services in both rural and urban settings for those in its custody and foster care. Requires an advisory group that includes people with specific experiences, and it changes the report due dates, and the sunset is extended about 6 months.
Great. And Representative Stark, did you want to add anything to the record on this? Excellent. And I believe we need to adopt the -3 amendment. This is 632, so we would like to adopt the -3 amendment. No, that's a different bill.
Right.
That's a different bill.
Okay.
This is the one about the pilot projects training.
That's right.
Foster care parents.
You ready?
I'm ready.
Chair Gelser, I move to adopt the -3 amendments to Senate Bill 632, dated 4/10/2015.
Vice Chair Olson moves to adopt the -3 amendments to Senate Bill 632, dated 4/10/2015. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection to adopting the amendments? Seeing none, so ordered. Vice Chair Olson.
Chair Gelser, I move Senate Bill 632 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the committee in Ways and Means by prior reference.
Vice Chair Olson moves Senate Bill 632 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? I would just like to thank the proponents for bringing this bill forward. I think improving the capacity of our foster families to serve some of our highest need kids is incredibly important. I know that all of the stakeholders have worked really hard on this, and I know they've worked with the department as well, and so I have great hopes for this. Any further discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. And we will close the work session on Senate Bill 632 and open up a work session on Senate Bill 741.
Madam Chair,
the bill with Grimley, yes.
Members of the committee, Senate Bill 741 was previously heard on April 7th and April 14th. It has a dash 2 amendment that was adopted on Tuesday the 14th and a dash 3 amendment that was adopted on Tuesday the 14th. So it's before you for movement and a request for a referral to Joint Ways and Means due to a fiscal impact. This is the one that requires the rules governing home studies and placement reports and adoption proceedings. And expressing preferences for folks who are already attached to the child.
And before we go to the motions, I just wanted to thank everybody that's been involved in this bill and asking questions and raising concerns, and the department for being very responsive. There have been a lot of people that have been involved in with all of the stakeholders. I know sometimes it's been confusing, but that's what happens when we have complicated legislation and a lot of people working on things at the same time. I think the end product is a good product, and if you recall back on our discussion 2 days ago, the department, the proponents, everyone agreed we would not be working to amend this bill any further. The other thing that I really wanted to clarify, because this bill and the discussion that we had around the content of the bill has gained attention outside of the building, and I want to be really clear about what the bill is about. The bill is about the policy of how considerations are made and putting people on an equal policy. There is nothing in this bill that would specifically direct or change a placement outcome for any specific child that we've spoken about or heard of, nor does it direct or give preference to a current caregiver or to a family member. The idea behind this bill is that people move forward to the committee, and then that committee has the opportunity to take a comprehensive assessment of all of the opportunities that are available to the child and focus on solely the best interests of that child, recognizing there are always adults that are involved, and it's a heartbreaking process for adults. And as often, actually as almost always is the case with adoption, that's a day that is very joyful for one family and kind of devastating for another. And that really follows through just about every kind of adoption that you have. So it's a really sensitive topic, but I just want to be clear on the record what this does not, what it does not do.
Yeah.
Senator Cruz.
Madam Chair, this is an issue we've been dealing with for a considerable period of time in the building, and I think this is just going to kind of get us back to center. So I think this is the appropriate move at this time.
Thank you very much. Any further comments? No, and thanks again to everybody that worked on it. Special thanks to Chris Edmonds, who did a lot of running and talking to a lot of people, answering a lot of questions quickly. It's not an easy job to answer all of our questions, so thank you for sticking with it. With that, Vice Chair Olson.
Chair Gilson, I move Senate Bill 741 as amended by the committee on April 14th to the floor with a do pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means.
Vice.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry I have to interrupt, and you will have to give me a moment just to double check.
Okay.
The fiscal has not yet issued for the amendment to 741. It is in progress, and a light is anticipated because of the request for the referral. So my apologies if you can recess while the motion is pending and continue to give them a chance to kick it out of fiscal. I do anticipate they'll be able to do
okay. So we are going to temporarily recess, but I can tell you, Representative Stark, it's looking pretty good. So we're going to temporarily recess Senate Bill 741, and we will come back to this very soon.
Just moving fast.
All right. And I understand that the fiscal and revenue statement electronic system was down for a while this afternoon.
This morning
as
around
well.
10 o'clock. No.
Yeah. Okay. So, and the reason that happened, we have to have all of these fiscal statements before we can move anything. Everything needs documentation.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 760.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 760 increases the percentage of wholesale price of donated crops allowed as the amount of a tax credit from 15% to 50%, and it applies starting with the 2015 tax year, taking effect the 91st day after signee dies, previously heard March 19. There is a subsequent referral to tax credits and minimal fiscal and a light revenue statement pending further analysis with the subsequent referral.
So, colleagues, you may remember we had a conversation about this tax credit. It would potentially increase the amount that that a grower can claim on a donation. Senator Denbrough had some really good questions at that time. Do we know that it will increase that donation? How much will it cost? I think these are conversations that they'll wrestle with in the tax credit committee around how much would that additional increase be. But I recall 2 years ago when we expanded this tax credit, and I've talked with some folks in the House as well, that people really wanted to try to find a way to do some more around this crop donation credit. So I thought it was important to forward that on to tax credit so it could continue in that discussion and be considered alongside all of the other tax credit requests that are coming forward. Mm. Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Of course, I'm a farmer. Some people know that. And we donate things to the food banks locally. In fact, I was just talking to the folks from UCAN because it's Hunger Day in the Capitol. And, I'm not sure per se that it is necessarily going to increase what I donate, but in some rough years, and sometimes farmers have rough years, when you're running on a 1% margin, sometimes that can be helpful. So it's kind of nice to be able to get a little bit of help for the help you're giving. So, if that makes sense.
Any further discussion? Senator Denbrough.
Thanks, Madam Chair. I'm probably going to vote no on this. Okay. Just, I fully support the crop donation tax credit. I fully support increasing it. But jumping to 50% just seems pretty extreme. And I hate doing that on Hunger Day here, but I think that a more modest increase in the donation credit makes good sense, and that I would want to send that message.
And part of the way that this tax credit process works, after we've gotten them all through, I'm to write a letter to the co-chairs of the tax credit committee. And I will mention that the interest of the committee and my interest in moving it forward was around that increase. I kind of see that number being that budgetary question for the tax credit committee to look at. And I think your no vote will kind of signal that question. And with your permission, I would explain that's where that number came from as a caution of this might not be the right number.
Sure. Yes. And just, again, every dollar that's a tax credit is a dollar away from schools or some other important public service.
Just as a counterpoint, I understand Senator Denbrough's position on this, but this is also feeding hungry people. And from an industry who doesn't have huge profit margins, you need to understand that. And I guess my position was, number one, this isn't a big bite out of the whole tax credit universe that we're talking about. But number two, a significant increase might allow us to track to see if indeed the donations increase appreciably. If you do just a minor increase, somebody may not even notice. So, I'm just looking at tracking the program and see what sort of results, and we can come back and revisit it. So,
yeah, sure. I had folks from my community and my constituents come up and talk about the need for food, number of people that they have to service. Mm-hmm. And I have farmers all around me, and I see green beans and other commodities get plowed under because it's not financially viable to do anything with them. At 50%, it is a big jump, but the fact is that it would allow my farmers to collect those crops and donate them to people that really, really, really need the food. And we talk every day about services and providing services for disabled, providing services for the mentally ill, and this is a service we can provide for those people in our state that are extremely hungry and that need it.
Okay, thank you. Any further conversation? Seeing none, Vice Chair Olson.
Chair Gilster, I move Senate Bill 760 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Tax Credits by prior reference.
Vice Chair Olson moves Senate Bill 760 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Joint Committee on Tax Credits by prior reference. Is there any further discussion? Seeing none, would you please call the roll, Maria?
Senator Denbrough?
No.
Senator Cruz?
Aye.
Senator Olson? Senator Mona Zemberson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Olson?
Aye.
Chair Gelser?
Aye. Having received the required votes, the motion passes, and I will put the content of that discussion and the reasoning behind the no vote in that in the letter. And I'll run it by you first to make sure I get it right.
Great.
I'll run it by all of you to make sure I get it right. So with that, I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 760. Again, just to be very clear, we carried over Senate Bill 226. And I'm going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 444.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 444 was previously heard March 31st. This requires a report on housing stabilization programs by July 1st, 2016 from Oregon Housing and Community Services in consultation with the Oregon Health Authority and the Department of Human Services. You'll recall Senator Steiner Hayward's testimony on this bill. It has no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal and no subsequent referral.
Great. It does have a subsequent referral?
It does not.
Why does it? Oh, because it's not a task force, it's a report. Got it. All right. Vice Chair Olson.
Chair Gelser, I move Senate Bill 444 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Olson moves Senate Bill 444 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Madam Chair, is this one of your bills?
It is not.
But it's a 444.
It is. I would like to take this opportunity to point out that I have Senate Bill 222. 555, 777, and 888, and Senator Knope has Senate Bill 666.
How did you arrange that?
His is a beast of a bill.
But this one is not mine. I missed the fours.
Sorry.
So, is there any further discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection to Senate Bill 444? Seeing none, so ordered. The bill heads to the floor. This is actually Senator Steiner Hayward's bill, so let's have Senator Steiner Hayward carry it. With that, I'm going to close the work session on Senate Bill 444, and I'm going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 629. Oh, but I already carried that over. So I'm going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 710.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 710 was previously heard on March 19th and March 24th. There's no revenue impact on the dash one, and there's a minimal on the dash one. There's no subsequent referral. This is the measure that requires medical records, one free copy, health information upon request for purposes of application of appeals, Social Security disability benefits. The amendment makes it applicable to appeals only, and it has an emergency clause.
And colleagues, the dash one amendment is in response. We had a hearing, and then we had some folks come back, and we talked about attorneys. We talked about which records would be done. So this really narrows it down. It removes attorneys from being able to request this. It's just the individual or their personal representative, and it limits it to appeals of Social Security denials. And just to put it on the record, I don't know if Courtney's still in the room, but Courtney and I talked about this earlier today from OMA, that the records also cover only that gap between the time of that initial application and the appeal. It's not all medical records going back to the beginning of time. Those have already been submitted. This is just the records that are in that gap. Senator Olson.
Chair Gelser, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 710, dated 4-13-2015.
Vice Chair Olson moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 710, dated 4-13-2015. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any objection? If not, the amendments are adopted.
Chair Gelser, I move Senate Bill 710 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Olson moves Senate Bill 710 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Seeing none, so ordered. The motion passes. Who would like to carry it?
Which one is this?
This is the Social Security...
Senator Dimbro.
Senator Dimbro, would you like to carry this bill? You're really good with speeches.
He's got his hand up.
Great.
You're almost there, Michael.
With pleasure.
Thank you.
Of course, several of us are almost there, aren't we?
All right. And Senate Bill 774 is also not ready yet, so we are carrying that over. You do have the Dash 2 amendments both in OLIS and at your place. Yes, they're physically
here.
So we've just received those, and we've sent them out for fiscal review, but that gives you a chance to look at those before we meet on Tuesday. Those are the amendments that we would be moving. Do we have anything?
Since it is a task force, though, all task forces are supposed to go to joint ways and means.
Yeah, so we've been adding those every time they come through. For whatever reason, when they've been referred to us, hardly any of our task forces have had that subsequent, but we have added them.
Madam Chair, I only screwed up the one adding the subsequent. And I believe the amendment, the dash two, with a cursory glance, replaces the original content of the measure.
Yeah.
And it's the original content that creates a task force.
Gotcha. Okay. Very good. Do we have our other fiscal yet on 741?
It has just been released.
All right.
So we'll get a copy up to the dais.
So let's move on while we're getting the copy up to the dais. Is that okay?
Sure.
I'm going to open. We're on 741. We couldn't move it because we didn't have the fiscal paperwork, but we're going to have it in a minute. So while we're working on getting that, I'm going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 592. And yes, this is the inclusionary zoning bill, but there is an amendment that replaces the inclusionary zoning bill. So it would have been really fun if we had just talked about inclusionary zoning instead, but that would not have made me many friends. So at your place, and we provided them in the back, is a proposed amendment, which I don't want to try to move today. I'd like people to have a chance to look at them, see if there's interest in moving them forward, and what changes might need to be made to the language to make it work. But the dash one amendment would create the task force on affordable manufactured home park living. This is a task force. The intention is to address some issues that are coming up in some, and that's a really important thing I really want to emphasize, some manufactured home parks where there are some out-of-state organization that's come in and bought them and kept re-raising rents on the land underneath these manufactured homes, which puts people at risk for being able to stay there. This task force would be intended to look at that issue. I understand we may need to add some representation to make sure there are enough folks there representing the landlords and have the right words around legal aid. And we would want the task force to develop recommendations to protect manufactured home owners from inappropriate rent increases. They would determine what these inappropriate rent resources were, also to identify advocacy resources available to manufactured homeowners facing displacement due to rent increases, and to look at how we can better help this vulnerable population of people. Again, I want to emphasize this is a narrow population of manufactured home parks. This is not about all manufactured home parks.
Who brought this amendment forward?
I brought this amendment forward based on a situation that we have going on in my district. We do have a park that was purchased. There have been, I believe, three rent increases in the last year. The particular purchaser of the park has purchased other manufactured home communities in other parts of the state and followed that same process. There's nothing illegal about that. But it's deeply concerning. They had asked for a bill to establish rent caps, which is problematic, but this is an issue on the other side in human services. We talked about this issue several times, having a task force to formalize that conversation, memorialize some of the issues that come up every time, I think could help us looking at this moving forward. The individuals who live in these houses are on very fixed incomes. It is an affordable housing stock, and when they can no longer afford the rent on the land that sits under their home, they are less able to move than someone that has just rented an apartment or a house because their asset is in that home. And the way that the process works, often that by default, that landlord may end up then owning that home and the person really has no place to go.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I would just make caution to the task force when we talk about inappropriate price increases, because you have to understand the underlying basis of where an increase comes from and why it's there. Perhaps trash, water, electricity,
right,
all that stuff went up. And so that would not be an inappropriate price increase. That would be appropriate to cover the cost. So I'd just be cautious when we talk about And when the task force discovers what inappropriate price increases are, make certain that they understand that there are price increases that are just part of doing business.
And I think, thank you, Senator Olson, that really was part of the intent of that word. There are rent increases, that there are appropriate times to have rent increases. And if you've got suggestions about that wording or adding a bullet in to talk about what are the things that might drive rent increases, I just got this amendment back yesterday. We hadn't been able to find a relating clause to put this concept in. Then inclusionary zoning passed on the other side. This bill became available, and it was like the only bill that had the right relating clause.
You know, this issue of pricing has come up quite often in the past. And we have a great, and I see two of the people out there that work on this issue, one an advocate for the renters, one advocate for the manufactured housing. And rather than coming up with a new task force, I mean, maybe we need this, but I would like to hear from the, I'm sure they will they be talking about this on Monday? Come forward with, because I thought we had a system going, and then to just put in another task force, since I've dealt with this in previous committees, that I'm just putting a red flag up for it. Thank you.
Well, and I hope everybody will talk to all of us and we'll talk to each other. As I said, I don't want to try to move this today. I'd like people to have a chance to look at it and think about it. And I struggled with that same question. The reason I thought it would be helpful to have a task force is for us to memorialize what that conversation is. The conversation happens over and over again. We end up having bills in committees where we rehash a similar conversation. This has happened a couple of times in recent years. It's not a problem with the majority of the park owners, but for those homeowners that this impacts, it's really a crisis. And at the very least, allowing these people to see that we've heard that concern, whether it's showing them an amendment or showing them a task force, I want them to know that, you know, it's frustrating when terrible things are happening to people in your community and it's perfectly legal and there's nothing you can do about it. And I'm not suggesting that we make those rent increases illegal, but I want them to know that they've been heard, and I want to create a forum to have that conversation.
Madam Chair, I think this is a conversation that should happen. You're right. I mean, we hear it come up again and again. You know, if we have the wherewithal to create, to put a task force together to really look at that comprehensively and to deal with the kinds of questions that Senator Olson raised, I mean, how would you determine what's an unreasonable increase? You know, presumably that could be the topic of one of the topics of the task force, which could make recommendations and let us know, is there further action? Is there legitimate legislative action that we could take?
Madam Chair, in the past, we just brought the advocates in and had conversations, because there are organizations representing both sides already exist. And I think to create a task force because we may have some issues in one place, I think is totally inappropriate. I would suggest, Madam Chair, if you're having issues with a park in your Senate district, that you contact the advocates and have that conversation. We have had many, many conversations and actually have reached a whole lot of agreements without the official task force having to be created. So,
and Senator Cruz, we have contacted a lot of people about this, and it's not just in my district. It's the same owner that has now moved into multiple counties. So the people that have been most helpful to me have been other legislators that have been in this place with their folks. And maybe it's a matter of the manufactured home parks putting pressure on this particular owner, because it really puts a stigma. I mean, it makes the industry look bad when people behave in the way that this particular organization is. But please look at these. We'll carry it over until Tuesday. And please, if you have suggestions about wording, whether you're at the dais or out there, please let me know. And with that, I'm going to carry over Senate Bill 592 and close the work session on Senate Bill 592 and reopen the work session on Senate Bill 741.
And Madam Chair, we did receive the fiscal. Everybody's got a copy of the dais, thanks to Maria, and she's uploaded it on OLIS as well. It's a further analysis required because of the request for a referral.
Great. All right, so the motion was on the table. Senator Olson moved that Senate Bill 741, as amended, go to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Well, he was smart to know that before the paperwork even came in.
He was. He's, yeah. he's pretty smart. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, Senate Bill 741 is on its way. I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 741. And we have, so we, just to be clear one more time, we've carried over Senate Bill 226. We've carried over Senate Bill 629. We've carried over Senate Bill 774. We've carried over Senate Bill 592.
And we're done.
And we are adjourned.
Good work.
Good work, team. We are adjourned.
Good work.
Good work.